Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Want to talk some draft? To join the show, 888-808-1019. Want to get a little bit more into the Knicks and last night's game. I knew right away, every Knicks fan did, that there was a different energy, a different attitude, and a different plan from the second that this game tipped off. And I know it got a little dicey at the end, and we will talk about that, but this game was closer in score than it really was. I mean, even when the Pistons would take a lead or get close, the Knicks would just go back on a run. The ball movement was incredible. Karl Anthony Towns played exactly the way I wanted him to in games one and two, and I got to give him credit for that. Defensively, he was aggressive. Offensively, he was aggressive. He looked like one of the best players in the league, and I was just so happy to see that. So he is off my poop list for a couple of days because he did an amazing job last night. OG Anunoby wasn't as involved at the end of the game, but was super involved early. You could tell that he was on a mission. I mean, there really wasn't anything about what they did last night that I had a problem with. And, you know, the end is just so silly. The rule is bizarre. And just thank God it didn't cost the Knicks the game. You know, to have Jalen Brunson intentionally miss the free throw because it's the right play, then the buzzer to go off before the Pistons touch the ball, and then have them get a side out of bounds with no time off the clock, and then allow Jalen Duren to take three steps forward to be able to inbound the ball. But, you know, he doesn't have the aptitude to do that type of thing, and Mitchell Robinson's in his face, so it ended up being okay. But, like, I couldn't even wrap my mind around how I would have felt with the way that the Knicks played in this game if they had lost in that type of weird way. But they didn't. 2-1 lead. This is the best I've felt about them in a while, and I hope they can keep the momentum up and it isn't one of these peaks and valley series. I want them to stay on a peak the rest of the way and then head into that Celtics series with as much momentum as they could possibly have.
If they would have lost the game last night, like I stayed up until 2 o'clock last night anyway. I don't know why, because I couldn't fall asleep. I was just
2 o'clock?
Reading about the draft and the Knicks, and, you know, your brain's going 100 miles an hour. You know, so I was just thinking that if they would have lost the game like that, it would have been like the first time I've ever seen anything like that.
Yeah, at any of us, yeah.
There was also a point in this game where the Pacers and, Schroeder had
the,
a six-point play.
You're saying.
I mean,
the
Pistons had a six-point play.
Yeah.
Had a six-point play. I've never seen that either.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was on the same possession because they ended up having the Hardaway three,
and then
they go back to
the
foul, and they get the possession, get to keep possession, hit a three, and then the Knicks missed, and then they hit another three, and it was a 9-0 run in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, I mean, like,
to tie the game.
We had the Larry Johnson 4-point play.
Yeah, where's that ball, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know. You have to ask Wally about that. Right. He just basically dropped the ball on that whole thing.
Anyway.
Didn't really seem to care about it because he was worried about his next tee time or something. lack of communication.
Yeah.
But that was a 6-point play by Schrader. Or Schroeder, whatever the hell his name
is. His name is Schroeder.
Schroeder.
But it was also
Schroeder, Schroeder.
But it was Hardaway who hit the shots of the foul shots. And then Schroeder on the possession ended up getting
it. It was like a 6-point play.
Essentially, yeah. I mean they went down to that end and didn't go back into the other end of the floor and they got 6 points. Yeah. But that didn't hurt them, and then it got tied. I think it was 20-11 at that point. Then it got tied 20-20. The crowd is going crazy. But any time that happened, the Knicks just fought back time in and again and again. And everybody on that team that I wanted to show up showed up. The one thing I will say, and I don't even know if it's a negative so much, it's more like a self-awareness thing. You know, Josh Hart did not want to shoot the ball from any range at all. And that's okay. If your other guys are playing the way they are offensively and you're out there and you're the energy and you're dribbling and breaking down the defense, you're grabbing rebounds, you're doing the things that you do on the floor and you're not shooting because you don't think you got it, I'm okay with that. But you need everybody else to be draining them like they were last night. But this was a great, great win because of how it happened. And then just the ball movement. In the first half.
Yes.
And it continued for most of the game. You got a couple of those Jalen Brunson isolation possessions that ended up working out for him in the fourth quarter. But they needed him to come through, and he did. But just the extra pass, they look like a completely different offensive team with a plan for once.
So you think that Thibodeau actually sat down with them, showed them some video, and said, guys, this is the way we need to play. This is how you have to play. We can't continue to just rely on one player.
Yeah, I, and that's another guy that needs to get a ton of credit because I was crushing him as well after game two. I mean, he absolutely changed the entire plan to get the best out of this team against this opponent in this game.
And that's what a point guard's supposed to do.
Well, I'm talking about Thibodeau, head coach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Jalen Brunson as well. I mean, and he didn't have like so he ended up getting over 30. But in the first half, he had like 9 points, whatever it was, because he was deferring like he should have because that's what the defense was giving him.
And but that's also why they have OG Anunoby and Karl Anthony Towns on the court with them, is to take some of the pressure off of it.
Exactly.
Off of him.
So it was perfect. And I know it was close, but it's the other thing you got to remember, too. This is the first playoff game that the Pistons have had at home in a very long time. The place is crazy. There was going to be some emotion. Schroeder is playing out of his shoes. It's crazy how well this guy is playing. You know, he's bounced around to like 6 million teams. He was also the guy that like turned down a contract by the Lakers because his agent told him to, and then ended up like no one else ended up signing him. It was like $100 million. So he's been like this vagabond going everywhere, and he's playing like the best basketball he's ever played in his life. In this series, so it got close at the end, but really the Knicks were never going to lose this game.
Is he a guy you'd want on your team next year? I don't know what his contract status is right now.
I don't know,
he's been moved around so much.
I mean, the way he's playing in the series, like I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment.
Yeah, but you know, like how Cam Payne has been good for the Knicks,
But he, you know, he's definitely a bench guy. Like Schroeder's coming off the bench too, but yes. Schroeder's playing like the best player that they have.
I mean, you're going to need bench guys. You always need bench guys.
Sure. No, I mean, the way he's playing, fine. But I just, it's like enough of this already. You know what I'm saying? Like they got Cade Cunningham. That's great. You know, Dennis Schroeder, Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, Jalen Duren. I don't want to see these guys anymore.
These are bounce around guys with the exception of Cade Cunningham.
Yeah. I mean, essentially. So, and Isaiah Stewart's missed back-to-back games. He was going to be a big part of trying to shut down Towns. I mean, you know, when he plays with that confidence, Karl Anthony Towns, and that aggressiveness, you see why he's got the ability to be unstoppable and everybody was salivating when he came here. It's not consistent enough. But if you're telling me that guy shows up every single game for the rest of the postseason, then hell. Make a run at anybody. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Celtics, but it'll be a hell of a lot closer than I ever expected. So this was a good one. This was a really, really good one. Made me feel better and excited about the team. And now I am pumped up for Sunday at 1 o'clock for game four, where I'll be guest bartending at the Portly Villager, raising funds for the Boomer Esiason Foundation. All proceeds going to BEF Sunday, 1 o'clock, Portly Villager. Matt's in Florida. What's going on, Matt?
Hey guys, what's up? Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Oh man, what an awesome sports night last night. So two things. Just wanted to jump on real quick and talk about the Knicks. So exciting. It was the first game that I noticed that they played with like grit. Like they were there for each other. The passion was there. They had each other's back. I really noticed it too with Cat when with Robinson in the middle. But gee, I got to make a point, and you were 100% right. I was so locked in on Robinson's feet. You are so right.
Yeah.
Now it makes total locked in. Now it makes total sense as to why when I'm watching him run up and down the court, I'm just waiting for his femurs to snap.
Yeah.
His feet are way too small. Like he's disproportionately, and it didn't help with the fact that he was wearing like neon pink shoes. So when the entire scuffle, I wasn't even looking at what was going on, locked in on his feet. I just could not believe it.
He's got really skinny legs.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. But hey, listen, great win, grit, passion. That's what it takes to win in the playoffs. And I'm locked in, man. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah, all right. You too, Matt. Yeah, I mean, it's something that it's like one of those phrases that's overused. Like once you see it, you can't unsee it. But it is true. I mean, those tiny feet for a big man is insane. That's why he ends up having all these lower body injuries.
It's kind of like you're the opposite of him. You have big feet for who you are.
Yeah,
he's got small feet for who he is.
Yeah, I mean, he
should have your feet, and you should have his feet.
Well, no, because he is a size 13.
He is, okay.
But size 13 on a 7-footer is like...
like a size 9. Size 8.
On a, maybe 7 on a regular dude.
Okay, I mean, but you have like big boat. You got 12.
I got
12.
I got 12s, but I mean, listen, I am...
And you're not a 6-footer.
No, I am. I'm 6 foot on the dot. Mm. 6 foot... No, I am. I just have a bad posture.
Slunching. Yeah, you have a bad posture.
But
no, which makes your feet look worse.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. But no, I have bad posture, but I stand straight up. I just got measured the other day, shoes off. And they said, stand up, bang, 6 foot on the nuts.
But you don't walk around.
6 foot, 215. I could be a linebacker.
If you were walking around straight like this, yes,
yeah,
but you don't walk that way. You walk like you're talking.
Yeah, here. I know. It's just because,
you shuffle.
It's just the weight of carrying you to 10 every day. I just end up getting like, on my back. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. Smile, for God's sake.
I'm just saying, you just shuffle.
I am a shuffler. Yeah, all these things are right. I have terrible posture and I shuffle.
That's what I'm saying. Your feet look too big.
What do you want me to do about it?
There's nothing you can do about it.
Didn't they do that back in the day? The horrible thing they did to women in Asian countries? They bound their feet because they got too big. You want to do that to me?
They bound their feet? I'd never heard of that.
You didn't?
No.
Yeah, what terrible thing.
This is something that Al nodded his head yes to. Like, he
oh yeah, I've heard
this.
That.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
What'd you hear?
That in a certain culture, small feet are what women want or men want the women to have or something. So they jam them in these small shoes, yeah. And the feet
they
can't grow.
Bind them from a young age.
Yeah, yep. It's horrible.
So they don't develop normally.
It's like when you see with the ears they do with certain dogs and stuff, right?
They pin the ears back. Or they clip the ears.
Pincher. They crop them, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they clip the tail.
Yeah, so like it's just so I don't know if that's what you're looking for.
Well, I was going to say that was more on your parents than it is on us. There's nothing you could do with it now because the feet are out and they are there. And
yeah.
They are obvious.
Yeah, hey, it's fine.
I'm a size, I'm 6 foot four and a half, and I'm a size 12. Like, that's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't stop me from doing anything. It helps me swim. You know, I don't think it's that disproportionate. I mean, it's big feet, sure, but it's, you know, not that disproportionate. I don't run as fast because of them, but it does help me swim. It's like I've got, you know, two big fins back there.
Yeah. Well, but that's why you pulled your quad and your hamstring.
No, it's because I'm completely out of shape and my muscles are tight.
Yeah, but if your legs weren't dragging your feet around...
No, it's not.
Pull a hamstring and a quad.
No, I don't think that's it. But I mean, I guess anything's a possibility.
But then again, you know, as an offensive lineman, you want to have a good base.
Yeah,
and having big feet would be a good base.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. But you know what's great about these size 12s is all the things that people send you that you don't want. I get.
That's true.
Size 12. What size? I remember, you're like, what size shoe are you? I was like 12. You're like, oh. Here's six pairs of shoes I don't want. I was like, all right. This is great.
Yeah, I got to get you a pair of new golf shoes. Your golf shoes are a little ratty.
Well, I mean, they're
a little ratty. A little ratty.
They haven't been cleaned in a while. They're from last year, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but it's time for, you got to get new shoes every year.
You think?
Yeah, oh yeah. You know how you like to get a new driver every year?
I'm not getting a new driver every year.
You don't even hit the driver.
No, not anymore.
I will today.
Why not? Jesus Christ, man. You know why not. Sometimes when it goes, it goes.
Get up there, tee it up, and let it go.
By the way,
stop overthinking it.
Yeah, I know. Definitely mental midget spot.
Yes.
Yeah, but those were, if you noticed those shoes, they were from the guys, the Instagram guys, Golficity. They custom made me those FootJoy shoes.
I know, because it got your name on it, Gio. I know.
It also has a transfusion on it.
I know that, but those...
It's pretty cool, huh?
I'm not saying they weren't cool.
They're really pretty cool shoes, I would say.
They're beat the hell down. Now you look like... I mean, you could wear them Sunday morning when you do your West Sayville thing. That's awesome. They fit that perfectly.
I mean, it's not like Roscona was out there looking like Justin Thomas with his shoes, but he was playing better. So it made it, you didn't look at it.
I mean, he showed up looking like a UPS guy.
All right. We got so much stuff to get into. Jerry joins us just a couple
of
minutes.
Weird colors, you know, like brown shorts.
Yeah, it was like a colorblind thing. I felt
like. Is he colorblind?
I don't know.
I mean, he had brown shorts on and he looked like a UPS guy.
A little bit.
Like
yeah.
The summer UPS guys.
He stuffed a cardboard box under his arm. You're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, look at that. Damn.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, so we got the draft. We got the Knicks. We got Jerry Recco coming up on this Feel Good Friday.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
It's a feel-good Friday here on Boomer and Geo, brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka, sunshine in a can.
You know, it's funny with the classic, people are going to hear what they want to hear. You know, one guy says, oh, I heard a lot of positive Jackson Dart talk from you yesterday. I'm like, no, you did not. Never once did I say I like this guy. What I was doing yesterday was saying that I think the Giants are going to take him because of Carson Shane's Instagram post, and that's where I think they're going to go, and we're trying to get some insight in who they're going to pick. The second I found out that this guy went to the same high school as Zach Wilson, I said, no way, no how. Then we heard the word that rhymes with fudgy that somebody might have said that rhymes with Mims.
Oh, my gosh.
I heard that. And then I watched the Gruden QB camp, and his snap count is this. And I'm out. Okay. But I've been out.
Yeah,
so stop. There was no positive Jackson Dart talk on this program.
Let's see if Brian Daboll could make him into something.
Yeah.
We got no choice now. This is his quarterback. They got him in the first round. If he turns out to be something, it will be a good pick, and hopefully we're not, you know, killing the kid. I just want him to do well, and hopefully, you know, there's no pressure to play him right out the gate.
No, there isn't. Right, which I agree with. It's not what I would have done, and I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, well, you know, we'll see. Like I had an opinion on it. I don't think that this was the right way to go. Just like I had the opinion on Zach Wilson, where I don't think you could pull a kid out of Utah and spit him out into New Jersey and say, fix the Jets when he's 20 years old.
One of the weirdest situations I saw last night, or most uncomfortable situation, was when the tackle from LSU, Will Campbell, was drafted. And they had him in that green pinstripe suit.
Yeah.
I think that was a Louis Vuitton suit.
Yeah, it's very strange.
That kid is not a Louis Vuitton kid.
He's not. He also he's got very short arms. That's the thing about him. I don't like that. I saw a Patriots fan that said when he was crying up there, he said he couldn't even wipe the tears away from his own face. Couldn't reach. But we'll see.
That's a good line.
Yeah. How about the... That poor baby, I forget whose baby it was. The kid gets drafted. They go to the family's house. There's a woman there clapping. She's got a baby in her arm.
Yes.
And the baby's thrown around and then pukes.
Oh.
And you didn't see that?
That baby's going to turn out to be an offensive lineman, too, I think.
She's holding him like this. Yes, Al, do you know who it was?
Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle.
Texas. Okay. The kid from Texas.
So she's sitting there. She's got the baby in her arm. And then she starts to clap. And then the baby's head's going all over the place. And the baby goes, spits out milk. I was like, that's the star of the draft right there. I mean, that was unbelievable. That baby bounced right back. Right back, ready to go. All right, Jerry's here. He's got another update. What's going on, Jerry?
Brought to you by Thunderbolts. So this is how the draft started, if you were watching, after you had Roger Goodell and some former Packers come out on bicycles along with Lil Wayne. Then when they started the draft, they allowed Clay Matthews to address the crazy fans.
I just got off the phone with the president, Donald Trump. He asked me to pass a message along to all 32 NFL franchises. So let me tell you what it reads here, all right? It says, my fellow Americans, the Bears still suck!
He's taking a page right out of his buddy Pat McAfee's book.
Yeah. Which, that's funny. I told Al this morning, that's how I watched the draft. And I didn't watch long. I really watched mostly the Knicks. But McAfee was doing the draft live on YouTube. And he had Mike McCarthy sitting there, was on it. And also he had a fake Mel Kiper, which was very funny.
Yeah, he was smoking weed, too, I saw.
Pat probably. McAfee.
No, he tried to offer it to McCarthy.
I mean, who's not smoking weed these days?
How was McCarthy's analysis?
He was fine. Yeah, he was fine.
No, but what's funny about it was when he's like, you know, he's smoking, he hands it over to Mike McCarthy. And he's like, Nope. Still trying to get a job here.
For next year, yeah. All right, so here's a couple of things from the Giants. Obviously, we'll start with Abdul Carter, who goes number 3. This was on Westwood One after he gets drafted. He says, crazy how things have turned out.
It was definitely surreal, something I dreamed of as a kid. Fun fact, I actually had a dream when I was 12, 13 years old. I got drafted to the Giants, so it's actually me living out my dreams. So
no way.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Did you ever tell anybody about that dream?
I told Coach Daboll, but it's pretty hard to believe, but it's actually true. So I'm just thankful to be here to celebrate this moment with my family.
These guys are just built different. When I was 12, I was dreaming that my teeth fell out like by a dog. I'm not kidding. Used to be my recurring dreams back when I was a kid. And spit out all my teeth, and then there was this dog that would come after me and bite me.
And this guy's dreaming about being drafted by the Giants.
Yeah.
That's a NARP dream.
Hell yeah, it was.
100%.
Yeah.
He mentions Coach Daboll there. So here's Daboll last night. This is after they take Carter, but before they make the trade, obviously, to move up to get Dart. Daboll is talking about how when he was at Penn State on a family weekend, I guess his daughter goes there, it sounds like, he really got to know Carter.
Getting ready to leave, I went to a little breakfast spot down there at Penn State that I've been to a few times. And we had a great breakfast, great meeting. He's a great kid.
Great kid. And so when he got on the phone with him last night, this is how things went.
You're one hell of a football player, and I look forward to working with you, buddy. You're really going to help us, boy. You got me?
Let's make history. Yes, sir.
That's a long way from that little breakfast we had, huh?
Absolutely.
So there you go.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't remember anything about that.
I think he does.
Now, they did trade up, as we know, and you've discussed, to get Jackson Dart. Here was Joe Shane on the quarterback search finally coming to an end. At least they believe they've got their guy.
Yeah, it's been exhausting, to be honest with you. I mean, we've been, you know, whether it's, you know, here all week and then you go on the road in the fall, or, you know, all the way up to Easter weekend, you're still on the road.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And the call to Dart.
Jackson. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man?
Let's do it.
Everybody's having a blast. Now, I don't know if this is the one in particular you were talking about with Gruden, but this was Gruden going over the film with him and just how he stands in and gets clobbered every game.
You are one tough son of a bitch, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
When you see these rushers beating down on you here, why don't you abort the play and take off? Why do you stand in there and do this?
I just feel like as a quarterback, you know, you got to be the one that sets the tone of the offense, you know, regardless of how many times you're going to get hit and not get hit. And
I mean, honest to God, man, I have seen you stand in there and take some real heat, man.
So there you go. They got a tough kid.
Yeah. Yeah, he also said that he can't run and take the tackles like he's taken.
Mm.
And he said, you know, it's reckless and careless and you're going to get hurt.
And I'm going to be staying. Yeah, those are two words he used, reckless and careless. And then he pulled up like a play sheet. He's like, I'm going to be standing there going, where's Dart, man? And you're going to be over there with a hurt shoulder.
My bad.
Well, I mean, so Josh Allen was reckless and careless when he got into the NFL. So was Lamar Jackson. So was, well, Jaden Daniels actually protected himself. Anthony Richardson was definitely reckless and put himself
and got hurt.
The Josh Allen comparisons are going to make my head explode.
But he's not going to be starting, so don't worry.
But that's exactly my point. Like, you sat here, and I'm surprised that you make that comparison because Josh Allen was one of your guys. You sat there and talked about him for months leading up to the draft.
The only reason I
didn't hear a single goddamn word about Jackson Dart being Josh Allen until last night.
I only say Josh Allen just because of his size and his athleticism. He doesn't play like Josh Allen played at Wyoming, for sure. I mean, why?
The only reason anybody's saying Josh Allen is because Brian Daboll had Josh Allen, and Brian Daboll drafted this guy.
And this kid's
Giants
a big
fans
kid.
are thirsty and AF, and they're the, and they to have a quarterback.
And there's the same size, essentially.
You break.
Yes. Oh, but Josh was all over the place when he was Wyoming because he had to be.
The Jets, meantime, very much quieter with their first-round pick, offensive tackle Armon Membu. Here's Aaron Glenn. He says this kid really gets after it.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. Listen, our guys are seeing that, too, that's watching this draft. They see how he operates. Listen, we have some guys that operate like that, too. So it's really our identity.
There you go, the new identity.
One more thing
of the
before
Jets.
While we're still on this.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart's 3 inches shorter than Josh Allen. He's 6'2". Josh Allen's 6'5". So this whole, he looks the same thing. To who? That blind guy who wants to date my mother-in-law calls from Sayville? He's 237 as opposed to 225. They're not the same guy. They're not even close.
Hence the pudginess.
Right. Pudgy. I don't know who said that. Somebody said that. I don't know. Could have been Pat Boyle.
Or somebody wrote it. And then somebody said it.
A couple of other things from the NFL. The Titans did take Cam Ward at 1, as expected. And then we had the Jaguars moving up to 2, making the trade with the Browns so they could get Travis Hunter. Much like a lot of John Gruden here. A lot like you, though. Here was Gruden, who just loved what Cleveland did.
I think the team you got to be talking about is the Cleveland Browns. I think they fleeced Jacksonville. Yep. To get the Jaguars' number one pick next year and only move down a few spots. Is that what I'm hearing?
So they got the fifth overall pick this year.
Greatest trade ever. There you have it. And then we've talked about Shedeur Sanders, who was not drafted in the first round. You talked the other day about the way Mike Tomlin had talked as much about him as anybody, any prospect he had, and yet when the pick came and went, they took defensive tackle Derek Harmon. Ryan Clark, the former Steeler, was watching, and this was on Instagram, his live reaction to them not taking Sanders.
He's a good player. Mason Rudolph!
He's all right.
He went to Tennessee and got worse.
You know what we're going to do? Oh, let's wait for Eric. Wait for Eric to make a decision.
Listen, Eric might be. Eric going to call Eric. Give
Bro,
him a call.
We let Aaron Rodgers hold us hostage like we a four. We the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm. So he's not happy. So you have that.
And these ESPN guys, they're getting checks from Sanders Inc., man. Holy hell. I mean, these guys cannot get their lips off of his ass. I mean, Lewis Riddick and Ryan Clark and Mel Kiper, it's like,
yeah, Kiper's wow. doing. He loves them. Yep.
There's something else going on, guys. There has to be something else.
And then you got the Seahawks taking North Dakota State offensive lineman Gray Zabel, if that's how you pronounce his last name. He got the phone call from the Seahawks, GM and coach or whatever, and here was his reaction on the phone with them.
What's next? What do you do tonight? What do you do tomorrow before the Seahawks send you out here?
Man, I'm probably going to start diving into these Busch Lights and celebrating.
That's great.
He said he wants 12 hours to celebrate and take it all in.
That is the yes.
That's the kind of guy you want on your team, man.
And I'll tell you right now, exactly. And that's someone who is mature beyond his years because he knows I'm going to celebrate for this amount of time.
That's it.
This is it. Yep. Then I'll get to work. you know?
And Busch Light.
Busch Light.
Jerry, hold on for a second. Let's go to Mike in Bayonne. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys. Gio, I got a bone to pick with you this morning, Gio.
Yeah.
Is everything okay this morning? Because you've done nothing but rip the Giants since 6 o'clock this morning. Okay. How many Ole Miss games have you actually watched all year? Okay?
I sat there and watched.
If the Giants like a quarterback, you go out and get him, Gio.
Okay, Mike. Hey, listen to me. Hold on for a second.
Hold on a second!
For God's sakes, I'll talk to you. And by the way, I said this for dummies like you earlier, that I hated the Vikings pick of J.J. McCarthy. I said he stinks and I hated it. So that has nothing to do with it being a Vikings fan or not. And how many Ole Miss games did John Gruden watch of Jackson Dart? And I'll tell you right now, he thinks he stinks.
How many times have you watched him play?
How many times have you watched him play, Mike?
More than you.
How many times have you watched him play? How many times? Seriously. You're a Giants fan, so you're going to suck off every one of their picks. He's from Ole Miss like Eli. You're probably one of those sickos who sat there and defended Daniel Jones for 6 freaking years. Get over it. He's a pudgy Utah clapper. How many games at Ole Miss? I don't need to watch any games at Ole Miss. How many games at BYU did I watch Zach Wilson play? 0, and I knew he was going to suck. And he did.
NFL draft passion.
Gio. How many games you watch, Gio? Stop it. God, this is his snap count. He's a system quarterback in Lane Kiffin's offense. Go look up Matt Corral. How'd that work out? God, I just crumpled up a read I'm supposed to.
Matt Corral's in the UFL, but
I'll lose my voice again.
Wow.
Gio.
Knicks beat the Pistons 118-116. Carl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson combined for 61 points. I'll just give you a quickie here for about the clock issue at the end. So you guys, I know you've discussed it briefly, but you had the 0.5 on the clock. Brunson misses the free throw on purpose, which really should end the game once they touch the ball. But the horn goes off before they touch the ball, which gave the out of bounds to the Pistons. They turn it over. It didn't matter in the end. But here was Josh Hart asked about what happened in that scenario.
We're in Detroit, bro. What you expect? You know what I mean? They had the home court advantage. So that's example A of home court advantage.
You could certainly make that case.
Well, sorry to
poke
holes in that.
Yeah.
But on the TNT broadcast, they said that they are independent clock operators in the postseason.
Right.
They are not the same guys who operate the clock during the regular season.
I think what we were discussing is the guy was probably jumpy, wanting to make sure you hit it right as the ball touched, and he just went a little too soon. But I could see a Knick fan making that case because it did give Detroit a last-second prayer. Although, like we said, the Knicks defended it well, and they didn't even get the ball in. They threw it away. Game 4 will be Sunday at 1 p.m. in Detroit. The Knicks now up 2-1. The Thunder beat the Grizzlies 114-108, so Memphis down 3-0, and Ja Morant suffered a hip injury. Only played like 8 or 9 minutes in this game. No idea if he will play in game 4. Clippers easy over the Nuggets for a 2-1 series lead, 117-83. Your guy, James Harden, at 20 points and 9 assists. Boomer, I know you're a big fan of his. You've got Kodai Senga making the start for the Mets tonight, looking for an 8th straight win. They start a series in Washington on Mets Odyssey Radio at 6:45 p.m. Yankees, meantime, take on the Blue Jays. Carlos Carrasco, the start there on the Fan at 7:05. And you've got the Devils and Hurricanes game 3.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
You know, this morning when I was talking about Jackson Dart, one of the first things I said was, you know, you're going to have these people go, oh, the reason you don't like this is you're a Vikings fan. So I was a step ahead once again with some of you dummies like Mike and Bayonne that call up, because I knew you were going to use that. And I was like, well, I hated J.J. McCarthy. Hated the pick.
It's okay.
Couldn't stand it.
Let it go.
I'm not going to let it go right now. I got here for 2 more hours. I'm fired up about this, and we're going into Friday. So, and being a growing up a fan of the Minnesota Vikings has nothing to do with how I feel about the Jets or Giants. And if you listen to me talk about them, I hate them most of the time and what they do to me. It drives me crazy. I'm not some sort of Viking shill with everything they do, I think is amazing. No, they drive me nuts. They've ruined full sections of my life with some of the losses that they have had. And I am actually, you know, angry today at the Jackson Dart pick because I'm forecasting in the future how I have to sit here because I believe he's not going to be a good quarterback and watch losing football for more years in a row. Just like we've been doing with the Jets and Giants for many years.
You don't think that their defense is going to be significantly better with what they did in free agency and now adding Abdul Carter?
Yeah, I think their defense is going to be better.
Yeah, so they'll be more competitive. And they'll be more competitive with Russell Wilson, believe it or not.
Okay.
They will. I mean, Russell Wilson did lead the Pittsburgh Steelers to the playoffs.
True. I mean, they had no shot, and he collapsed toward down the stretch, but true. But they have to, if they make the playoffs this year, it would be a borderline miracle.
I think that when this whole process started, right after the NFL season was over in February, and we turned our attention to April, we all started looking at all these players. And it came abundantly clear that there wasn't really a quarterback other than Cam Ward that was worth a top 10 pick. Okay, we heard everything from every media person out there, everybody, you know, evaluating all these different players. And we knew that there were probably 5 to maybe 8 guys that were really supposed to be difference makers and that would start immediately for the teams that drafted them. Abdul Carter is going to be one of them. I don't know if he'll start, but he'll be on the field a lot for the Giants. So the Giants got that one right as far as I'm concerned. The Jets got that one right with Amon Mbeumo. Whether or not he is going to be a dominating force, who knows? But he was a right tackle in college. He's going to be a right tackle for the Jets. Hopefully now the Jets have 2 bookend tackles with Mbeumo and Fashanu. You know, that would be great. And they have their center. And they have AVT if he can stay healthy. I mean, they're doing it the right. I think both teams have done it the right way, at least with the draft here and the offseason free agency signings, which weren't big names, but just quality players that they added to the mix. And hopefully they'll both be more competitive next year.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I like the Mbeumo pick. I like the Abdul Carter pick. Nothing wrong with that. The Jets have the potential on paper with the talent that they have on the offensive line to be a top 5 offensive line. Hopefully that comes together. I know the Giants have had focus on it. Andrew Thomas has got to stay healthy. All that is true. I don't like them trading back in to get Jackson Dart, and I don't like them picking up the 5th-year option of Kayvon Thibodeau. I thought those were 2 mistakes. Let's go to John in Rockland County. What's going on, John?
It's a pleasure to be on the air with you gentlemen this morning. Thank you. I would consider myself somewhat of an SEC football expert for the Northeast. Okay, I want to preface that there's a little bit of a curve when you live in the Northeast. I love college football. I enjoy it even more so than the pro game. I'm a devout Alabama fan. I have watched every Alabama game for the last 10 to 15 years. The talent disparity between Alabama and Mississippi closed tremendously after Nick Saban left with the amount of kids that left that program. So the talent level was about the same. Jalen Milroe by far outplayed Jackson Dart head-to-head. He also outplayed them versus Georgia last year. Jalen Milroe at his best is a far better player than Jackson Dart. And with that being said, both of them could have been had in the second round. I don't understand the talent evaluation process, what the Giants were looking at. Again, if you watch the two play every week, at his best, Milroe is better. At their worst, they're both equally bad. Both of them have had horrible games in the SEC, but at their best, there's no comparison.
Yeah, John, I mean, listen, I've been tantalized by Jalen Milroe's highlights. I didn't want him, if he was drafted, to come in and play at all. Then Phil convinced me that if he was drafted, there was things that they could do with him right away that would make a lot of sense. I know you had mentioned that as well. So I like Jalen Milroe. When they asked me, Tom Izzo came in here and asked me who I wanted the Giants to pick. I said Abdul Carter, and then find a way to get Jalen Milroe. So I'm with you, but I think that, you know, when you talk about ceiling, yeah. I mean, I think that if Jalen Milroe figures it out, gets in the right place, that he could be Lamar Jackson-like. That comparison to me is a hell of a lot more likely
than the Josh Allen Jackson Dart one.
Well, all I know is the Giants had to come out of this draft with one of the best players with the number 3 overall pick, and they did that. They came out with Abdul Carter, which I think everybody universally loves. Number 2, they felt like they had to come out of this draft with a quarterback, and they had to be aggressive about getting the quarterback that they wanted. Didn't matter what we thought, doesn't matter what Mel Kiper thinks, doesn't matter what Todd McShay thinks. It only matters what they think, what they believe. And they have decided that Jackson Dart was their number one quarterback after Cam Ward on their board. That's their decision. They're the ones that have spent all this time, as Joe Shane has said, over the last 3 months evaluating these players and meeting them and getting to know them and talking to them and to see whether or not, you know, they would be the type of guy that they would want in their locker room. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
Whether it works or not, who knows? No. I mean, that we never know.
No, we don't. But that doesn't change any year, you know? And then we've had opinions on these guys every year. Sometimes you're wrong, sometimes you're right. But, and I know that, I mean, I know they're not, but what you said was relatively obvious, that they're not going to pick someone that they don't like, and they pick Jackson Dart because they like him. But I can understand that you're going to hand the keys to your franchise over to. I just don't understand.
I would say that they were very bold in making this pick because of Jalen Milroe and because of Shador Sanders. Both those guys were there. They both could have went up and got those guys, and they decided no. They actually told the world that we think that this guy is better than both of those guys and the rest of the quarterbacks that are left on the board right now. That's a bold move. That is taking a chance and believing in your evaluation process and sitting down with your head coach and your general manager. The question would be that I would have, and I think Shador Sanders alluded to this last week at some point, you know, there was this whole discussion supposedly about whether or not internally everybody was on the same page about Shador Sanders being the quarterback of the Giants. Oh, the coaches love him, but the personnel doesn't love him. Oh, no, the personnel loves him, but the coaches don't love him. I mean, like, there's all this back and forth nonsense about him. And he basically came out and said, I just want to go where people want me. I don't want half the building not to want me. You know, yeah, and so I don't know. I just think that when these guys are and coaches and GMs are going through their evaluation process, they're looking for different things that we don't get a chance to actually see. Like, we see the tape. We see the arm strength. We see the ability to move. We can see standing in the pocket, like John Gruden was telling Jackson Dart, man, you get the crap knocked out of you. Yeah, well, he stands in the pocket. That's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't criticize something until I see him play at the NFL level. I can only go by what I've seen on tape. He's got an arm more than strong enough. He's athletic enough. He's tough enough. Now the question is he smart enough to handle the NFL offense, and does he have the balls to take that is needed to be able to be a leader on this team?